Blog Talk Radio.
Success is in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you for this hour and placed in you my power. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I will do exceedingly above all you ask of me. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. Don't wait until the last. Don't wait until the right. It's in your hand. Follow my plan. I've called you by my name, and you will never be the same. It's in your hand.
Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters. This is a day that Ahayah has made, and we will rejoice and be glad, for we are the remnant, called out the few. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Welcome to the Shabbat Convocation here at Kavod Mountain, Yasharel, brought to you by the Social Change Action Network, here on Blog Talk Radio. It is my prayer that you are increased on this day, despite everything else that's going on around us or that's coming at you in your life, that you are increased, encouraged. Let's go before our Heavenly Father. Our Abba, which art in Shemayim, Kodesh is your name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in Shemayim. Give us this day the continuance of daily bread. For we know on the sixth day you always gave double an increase, so that on the seventh day of rest, we would be supplied. So we thank you for the increase that's among us. Forgive us of all of our debts, for we even petition you as King Dawood did. For there are some out there that are saying, renew a right spirit within me and restore the joy of my salvation. Let it be restored. Let them be renewed on this day. We thank you for the forgiveness. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from all manner of evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the kavod forever and ever. Amen. Good morning once again. This is Elder V. And I welcome you. To all my radio listeners, fam, friends, Mishpacha, we want to thank you for your support and for tuning in. We want to get into the lesson, but at the same time, before we move into the lesson, there's some things that are taking place that I feel that can't be ignored because they are so indicative of the times that we're living in, and most people don't even realize, are coming to the knowledge of the times and understanding of where we're living. So before we get into, you may have noticed for the last few weeks, we've been into the study of the laws, statutes, and commandments, because we, as Israel, as we are opening our eyes, as the dry bones are coming to life, as we are waking up, we're learning to come back to being, come away from being lawless, a lawless nation and society, and come back to the laws and understand how they are relevant in our lives. And the book of Ezekiel talks about when we're back in the wilderness, we will be back under the rod again. And there will be this will be a mechanism that will also weed out those that are not willing to conform themselves. These laws are conducive to success in your life, as the song said, the track said before we got started. These laws provide for you to have a Kodesh life. These laws are what separate a people and help them to understand who they are as the children of the Most High, the only family he has ever known, as scripture says in the Torah. And those that follow after that, as we will see in the precepts, are also a part of this family because they follow the ways, the statutes, and commandments of the Most High. And that's why the Most High has put on our hearts to begin to read the Torah, study the Torah, and to make our people aware of the laws that were given to us, laws that a society tries to copy and impute upon us. And you'd rather follow society's laws as opposed to following the laws of the Most High, the dietary laws, laws of dress, feasts, celebrations, what to do, what not to do, loved ones, family, marriage, everything. He gave us a way to live a life that would be a more, as the track said, successful, Kodesh, blessed, increased, set apart life. And so that's what this is all about on this particular program. Furthermore, Elder Daniels had some family situations that came about, so he won't be joining us today, so I'll be going at it along with the precepts as far as the teaching today and as far as our lesson. However, if there are any questions, feel free. This is not a call-in show. We won't be taking calls, but the chat room is open, so we will go forward. I want to comment today on give me 1 second, brothers and sisters. I want to comment today on what's taking place in our nation because there was, as what the nation would call a crisis that took place before we get into the lesson. When I awoke on yesterday morning and heard about, and normally I know we don't do current events on this show, but I feel led to speak on this before we move forward. When I heard about the shooting at the theater in Denver, immediately the Ruach let me know that this was a ritual and that this was a sacrifice. And because there was too many indicators and too many people involved and taking notice and concern, and that this was blasted all over the Zionist media immediately. So there are a few things I want to bring to your attention, because I immediately posted on Facebook under V the Preacher that this was a ritual and sacrifice, because we got so many people that don't understand that the Most High is wanting us to come out from amongst her, as he said in Revelations, which is to come out of the world, its system. That means everything that they do for their enjoyment, for their love. We know Hollywood is a mechanism and a system for programming, brainwashing, possessing people, influencing people, guiding people, and putting subliminal subconscious thoughts into the head to further solidify, if not call forward, the things that they've already placed into a population and society. And from what I understood and heard, people were raving about the film before it came out, about the effects and everything that's in it. But also, there's so many production companies that were involved in this film, The Dark Knight, that it was definitely a film that was designed to bring about, I guess, exactly just what it did bring about. It's definitely not a film that I'm interested in seeing that there were 12 people sacrificed, lost their lives, and 71 people that were injured as a result of going to see this film at midnight. People wanting to be some of the first. These are some of the things that the world does: run to the theaters to be entertained, influenced, and live in their pseudo false occultic world. We as children of the Most High have much better things to do. I'm not telling you not to do what not to do and where to go, but once you start to become Kodesh, there are things that don't have the same so-called entertainment value that they used to have, to where you need to be a part of something to say, I was there, I did that, I saw it, I participated. No, we're learning to come out from amongst the world. I won't delay time, but let me get to the facts that this Dark Knight movie was a movie that came out at midnight, which happened to be the same time that the moon was dark. We're moving into a new moon right now. And when we're moving into a new moon, it's no longer crescent. It's actually dark. There's no light. And so they coordinated the release of this film during that time. And if you take a look, there were 12 dead, 71 injured. If you put 7 and 1 together, that comes up to be 8. And there's a foundational platform for 12 being dead. Strategically, it was planned that the movie was released on 44,000 screens. That's 4 and 4, 44,000 screens. And that number 8, some people say it represents new beginnings, but it also represents Saturn, Saturnalia, and Satan. So this movie was depicted to give a message that this would be a lead-in to the rise of the Antichrist system and regime. The person that committed the crime happened to be one that was studying, or he was supposedly studying mind control and neuroscience, but it turns out that he was more so, more than anything, a subject of mind control study. And this particular neuroscience is something that actually changes the genetics, where they connect these nanochips and these frequencies and these wires and to the brain, and they're able to send signals to the brain that allows you to be remotely controlled, just like a remote control car, remote control airplane. And so when this does happen, when they begin to send signals to the brain, remote control, people have reported other test subjects a loss of consciousness and a loss of awareness of their surroundings and where they are. So they actually black out, and once they black out, the remote control actually programs their thoughts, their actions, their bodies, and what they're to do. So we're talking about moving people into an age of cyborgs, which is things that the chips and these brain scanners and frequencies is going to allow people to be able to do. Now, exactly 13 years ago, 13 miles away from where this took place, we had Columbine, which took place in Colorado as well. That was 13 years ago, exactly 13 miles away. Now, this crime that happened yesterday also happened in Aurora, Colorado. More symbolism behind that, because Aurora is the name of a pagan goddess. And her job, she was the goddess of dawn. And her job was to announce the sun god, Helio, coming in. So when the sun was about to rise, Aurora would announce Helios, which is the sun god. So coincidentally, which I don't believe in the word coincidence, we have the reality of a new moon coming into play. It was completely dark. There will probably be a new crescent moon this evening. And we also have the beginning of Ramadan, which is taking place. Ramadan is the Israel time, the Ishmaelites, where they move into one of their festivals and their pagan holidays. So we also have your president, Mr. Barack Obama, who capitalized on this catastrophe, this tragedy, because those, the so-called powers that be, believe in never wasting a good tragedy, especially when they orchestrate it, which is why this young man was able to walk into a theater with two or three handguns, a knife, two tear canisters of gas. At first, there were reports of three people, later two people, then just one turning himself in. The theater was filled with military servicemen because there's a barracks close to the theater. People reported seeing this young man that was very agitated in the front of the theater, talking on the cell phone, got a call, walked out, cocked open the door, came in with an AK-47, two canisters of tear gas, threw it in and began to spray the entire crowd. People barely got out with their lives. Your President Barack Obama, thus in turn, gives one of the most, I'll say one of the best speeches he's given in years, and one of the more passionate speeches that has you deceived, because he is a deceiver and he is the true joker. Funny that the man who came in and committed this crime was dressed as the Joker to make even more parody and jest of the film The Dark Knight, and to further imply, to get their message across. So the dates coordinate with this number 8. The dates coordinate with another terrorism attack that took place 3 years ago overseas, because these people are very big on numbers, times, and dates to send messages to their people. I just saw a film last night, and I never saw the film before, where when President Bush, on September 11th, 2001, was sitting in the classroom with those little black babies and the black teacher prior to the planes hitting the building, the teacher was pointing to the chalkboard and having kids recite certain words and letters from the chalkboard. And what the kids were reciting in front of Mr. Bush was recorded strategically and planned. And what they were saying was, plane must hit steel. Kite, plane must hit steel. They were sending a message. The children were saying this right before Bush was tapped on the shoulder and told that planes have just hit the Twin Towers in New York, another event that was strategically planned to send a message and begin the destruction of America and of Babylon. Now, of course, your president has a very velvet tongue, and of course, all of his speeches are written for him, and of course, he's one of the greatest actors in the world. He's very smooth because he is the deceiver. I will not go as far as to say he's the Antichrist, but he's definitely playing his role in introducing what will begin and be a part of the Antichrist age. Mr. Obama will be elected again so that we can move into the Obama health care, which will have you or anyone else that wants this health care, you will have to be chipped or else you will be fined are possibly imprisoned if you do not take this nanochip, which will in turn control you, monitor your every move, and they can also send a signal to this chip, which could possibly cause for you to be remotely controlled or destroyed as well. We have another gentleman by the name of Sheriff Arpaio, which is going around getting ready to bring this information out about President Obama and his birth certificate being a fake, and that Hawaii is notorious for fake birth certificates. I believe they are the ones behind this coming into fruition, coming into play, because what will happen is once that President Obama has realized he's a foreign national, that he's committed fraud, and that our Constitution has been destroyed, it will also incite the beginning of the destruction of Babylon and of America, our laws and all that we stand for, and there will be chaos in the streets. People will begin to turn against society. And we will completely crumble, which will further give the foreign troops, the boots that are on the ground throughout America, a reason to try and bring order out of chaos. So we are at the inception of the beginning of sorrows, fears, and more tribulatory times for others. But we as a remnant know that we've been told to look up, to keep our heads up, because our redemption is drawing nigh. Pay attention to what's going on around you. So this is the beginning of the fall of Babylon. Babylon will fall. I'm going to take a short music break, and then we'll go right into the precepts. Shalom. Okay. Shabbat shalom. All praises to the Most High. Brothers and sisters, welcome back to Kavod Mountain 613, the Israelite way of life. And we are here to get into the Torah and to get into the commandments. I am your instructor for this day, your host, Elder V. Elder Daniels couldn't be with us today. Keep my brother in prayer as he's tending to some things with his family. So we're going to move into the statutes, and you'll see some of the scriptures that are in the page. And, of course, I'll be doing my own reading today. So the first statute, without further delay, we want to be able to get into. We've actually covered the first 12. And so today we're starting at 13. And we're going to find the first one, which is to love your fellow Hebrews. And we'll look at that scripture. We're going to start at Leviticus 19 and 18. And I'm going to read from the King James Version. Leviticus 19 and 18 reads, "Thou shalt not avenge nor bear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. For I am Ahayah." I think it's a very crucial, important scripture. Let me just speak on that. Importantly, it says we shouldn't bear grudges. And if you notice that we being under these curses, but coming back into the truth and waking up, is that one thing is that we're going to have to be cleansed and sanctified from some of the self-hate that we have for our own people that's been instilled in us through slavery and through the persecution and tribulatory times that we've been through as a people, that they have tried to teach us self-hate and to despise one another and to not trust one another. But I think it's critical that in this hour that we began to come back to loving our fellow Hebrews. Now, this is one thing I have to point out when I say our fellow Hebrews. We have a lot of people who are not completely into the knowledge of the truth yet, but they are our brothers and sisters. Scripture does tell us that not all Israel is of Israel. That is true. And this commandment is pointing out that we must love the ones, I'm going to deal with the fam first, Mishpachah. We have to love the ones that might be right now fighting over the name, fighting over some of the precepts and not quite understanding. We haven't come into the full knowledge of the pure language because we haven't been given the pure language. We know he's going to change his name and he's going to right some wrongs. We know we need to come away from the Tetragrammaton, which is based in Yiddish, that the Khazarian Jews, the fake ones over there in Israel, put together. So I think that we need to come away from arguing over our differences and finding a platform of commonality and try and find love over that so that we can exercise and begin to show the world strength and solidarity through love of the fact that we do know who we are and that we do believe and that we must have that type of love that we almost saw scratch the surface back in the 60s, back in the 70s. There was a love amongst community and amongst people. And when we dealt with each other, we chastised each other, but it was like a brother and sister within a family. You might fight, but don't let nobody else come in and touch your brother and sister and fight with your brother and sister because you've got an unconditional love. So it's okay to disagree, but we must agree on the one thing. We serve the Most High, Ahayah, Bahashem, Yahushua HaMashiach, and that there will be a redemption and that he's coming for us. This is what's missing in our community, in our family. We have to put the things behind us that have separated us, and the commandments are going to require and demand that we move back into love. There's something I want to read. Give me one second. A precept on that, which is with these Ten Commandments, the covenant with Israel begins. So the covenant begins with the Ten Commandments, but right now we're in the 613. The ancient rabbis isolated 613 separate commandments in the entire law of Moshe, Musa, who you call Moses. But these 10 are the principles upon which the rest are based, the 613. By themselves, they are called the words of the covenant. You'll find that in Exodus 34 and 28. The first four commandments deal with the reverence of God directly, while the latter six refer to man's relationship, especially with each other. You'll see that in that picture in the on the screen. The first four have as their name total love for Ahayah, for God, as expressed in Deuteronomy 6 and 5. And the last six are summarized in the statement in Leviticus 19 and 18, you shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. And we know we love some self. For a minute, imagine yourself loving your neighbor just as much as you love yourself. That's pretty transparent. It means that you're willing to give to them what you'd give or what you'd obtain for yourself. You're willing to give to somebody else. Something that you think you deserve, you're willing to give to someone else. That's a love that we have to move into. Therefore, Yeshayah took 613 commandments, which had been condensed to 10 in the law of Moshe, and reduced, now this is key, he reduced them to 2. This is why everyone, these, especially you Christians, who are acting like Gentiles, who are really Hebrews, well, most of you Christians are Gentiles. I'm talking about the Hebrews who are Christians that want to denounce the 613 and the 10 commandments. You're quick to go to what Christ said. When he said that, he summed up the 10 commandments and he broke it down to 2. And what he did was he took the first four, relegated them to the Most High, and took the other six and relegated them to how you treat your brother. In other words, Matthew 22:35 through 40 is how he summed it up. Now, all of God's commandments in the Old Testament dealing with how his people should live may be abbreviated simply to have love for God and for man. And I should say the Torah, the Tanakh, because I don't like saying the Old Testament. Ain't nothing old about it. It's relevant. So it's the Torah, the Tanakh. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thy love thyself. That's what Yeshayah said. That's how he broke it down. And that's what's required of us in this hour. Check yourself. Can you love your neighbor as you love yourself? Let's move to the second principle, which is, and we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, that they aren't necessarily in this order. They've been broken down to be numbered as we deal with certain characteristics of the 613. As a matter of fact, from like 11 to 23, those particular laws deal with the laws of character. Character is how you conduct yourself, which should be a fixed, predictable image, which should be consistent. And we're dealing with laws of character right now. And so I'm going to move to the 14th one, which is to love converts, to love those that sojourn amongst you. Let's look at Deuteronomy 10:19. Love ye therefore the stranger, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt, Mitzrayim. Now, this is key because we tend to forget that right now we're strangers in a land that we're not supposed to be in. We came into this particular Egypt, again, by ships to be slaves. And believe it or not, you're still a slave. Don't even think for a moment that you're free. Your salvation won't come until our brother and Messiah returns and delivers us. Every time you have to go punch that clock, pay that mortgage, pay that car note, pay those taxes, pay those registration, go get a license and work for a corporation, and you could never come up and never have anything. They've taken you off the plantation and put you in with the corporation. If you're not in with the corporation, you stand in line waiting for a handout, which is called welfare, and you live in their public housing. Still a stranger in a land that's not yours, which is why he wants you to long for your new Shemaim home that he's preparing for you, and the wilderness, and to not love this world, and to look up and know that your redemption is coming. Come out from amongst this world. This is a point that a lot of camps and different people
argue about because they figure that other nations, other races, cannot be a part of us or dwell with us. Let me deal with that first. We had a mixed multitude when we came out of Egypt, and they dwelt amongst us. And the reason we were told to receive them, to deal with them, was because they had conformed to the statutes, laws, and commandments. Now, when the commandments first came down to Musa, a lot of the mixed multitude left and dispersed because they couldn't conform to this. They couldn't conform to the statutes, commandments, and the laws. They felt it was too rigorous, and that's why it made a people kodesh and separate. And let me just be straight to the point. Any race today can become an Israelite by following the 613. You will be a stranger amongst us, but we will receive you because you're following and submitting to the Most High, Ahayah, Bashem Yeshaya. And you understand who we are as the teachers and the preachers and the family that he's called to be the head and not the tail. You will not come in here and do as the Christians do, that began preaching a perverted doctrine and telling the indigenous people and the 12 tribes that they're Gentiles so that they can become our subjugators and lord over us and further instill racism. No, you don't come amongst us as a stranger and then want to lead and take charge because you're introducing the same paradigm that exists in the Christian format. And that's not what this is in reference to. You come over here, you're submitting to what the Most High has established, and submitting to his people, his seed, Israel, as his preachers and teachers and prophets and rabbis lead. And even when I say that, we got a lot of rabbis and teachers popping up from all over the nation, having radio shows, talk shows, and writing books, telling black people, you the people, to try and get Americans, black Americans, and over in England and different people in Africa to follow them. Give them money, build them up, and build their websites. Anything anybody's selling you, materials, asking you for donations, and trying to build you up and pump you up with hype to give you this euphoric false sense of pride without giving you the real information of, like we discussed at the beginning of the show, the current events and what it all means. Because when I say they're preparing the way for the Antichrist, all of this ultimately leads to the destruction of Israel. And I meant to read some scriptures, and I don't want to go back into them right now. The introduction of what took place at the Dark Knight movie is because it goes back to Psalms 83, and it goes back to Psalm 64. I'm just deviating for a moment. And I believe those are called imprecatory prayers, where we ask for the Most High to come and avenge us and deal with these people who are trying to destroy us, because this is all ultimately to get to you so that the Most High and the Messiah has nothing to come back for, so that he will have total control over you. They want you dead. Okay? So I wanted to read that in the beginning, and I didn't get to that, but you can turn there and read that a little bit later, Psalm 64, Psalms 83, and know that this time that we're moving in has to do with the Ishmaelites that are trying to, that want to come against Israel, true Israel, and destroy them. They don't want us back in the land. They want genocide. They want us wiped off the face of the map because the riches fell into their hands as long as we were under the curses, as long as we were asleep. And Israel, we're waking up. We're not asleep. We're coming back to the Most High, his commandments, his statutes, a better way of life. And if you go back and listen to some of the other shows, these statutes puts a power on you and a spirit on you that causes you to become intimidating, an unseen force that they can't even reckon with. The unseen force is the Ruach HaKadosh and the Most High over your life. It's the blood over the doorposts that will keep you and protect you. It's what will keep you strong and bring you through what's getting ready to happen. Let me get back to the stranger amongst us. I don't want to deviate too far. So, stranger can be amongst us if he's willing to repent, come to the statutes, laws, and commandments, and follow the leaders of Israel. Follow the leaders of Israel. Follow the brothers and sisters that this world calls peasants, slaves, African Americans, Negroes, lesser than, lowlifes, scum. What did they call us when they first discovered people over in the jungle of Australia, Africa, New Guinea, New Zealand? They just called us uncivilized apes. These are the people of the Most High, the scattered diaspora of Africa. This is Israel of the 12 tribes. And you will recognize if you're going to be amongst us. Let me give you a precept and go back to Leviticus. It says at Leviticus 19 and 17, thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Well, that's our next precept, so I won't go into that. But as far as the stranger, let me go back to that particular scripture. Dwelling amongst us. You have to remember that he said, don't forget that you were a stranger in Egypt and they took you in. When Yosef was accepted by Egypt and became a ruler and leader and brought his brothers there, and we grew and we populated in Egypt and we built up Egypt, and we were known as the Hyksos, the shepherd kings. And but the Most High called us out when it was time, and he hardened Pharaoh's heart in order to do so. And there were many people that came out with us. Not only did we take the riches, but people came out with us because they believed in who we were as a people and wanted to be a part of the diaspora and what we believed in and where we were going. So the key is that love, therefore, the stranger. So it says to love them. And one thing I noticed is that, you know, we are a loving people. We will put up with our enemies. We've been whipped and beat. The slaves would be whipped and beat and still love Massa. You know, and we're very tolerant, very loving people. We're always inviting the other nations into our home to come to our barbecues, to come to our whatever we're doing, come hang out. And they find us so infectious, and they study us and learn us, and to the point where today they believe they are us. But it's because we've always been called to be the leaders of all the nations and to teach them the ways of the Most High. It's gotten a little thwarted, skewed, because now we have our youngsters that are teaching them things that they don't need to be learning, which is how to get crunk, how to party, how to get drunk, how to do this, how to act. You see it on TV every day. Most High is calling us back to showing them how to be Kodesh and how to serve the one only true God, Ahaya, and how to conduct and live your life. And it's not a life that most people think is without joy. And loving the atmosphere and the world that he created, not the things that man created. It's not a laborious, you know, he didn't even create us to originally till the soil and have to work. He created us to enjoy what he created. So this is where he's taking us back to. He's also taught us to enjoy each other, to love. And so it's amazing that today he's telling us to love our fellow Hebrews and to even love the stranger that dwells amongst you that follows the way of the Hebrews. Somebody asked, now, does that include those Khazarian Jews who've stolen our religion and who are trying to follow these laws in our ways? The difference between them, which is why I tell a lot of you camps who don't believe in Yeshaya, is that they believe. They study the Kabbalah and the Talmud, which is demonic and which is witchcraft, and which is why we shouldn't be reading it and touching it. They do not believe that the Messiah has come. They're still waiting for some Messiah, the Antichrist. That's who they're waiting on. They worship Satan. Satan is their God. They know who they are and what they've done. They have something in the Talmud that says that our Christ is in Sheol, burning in dung. And I hate even saying that, but it's in the Talmud. And the Kabbalah is a book out of original Babylon, which is full of witchcraft. And that's what they follow. So is it saying love them? No, they are our oppressors that want us destroyed, and they want us dead. Later on, you'll find out what we're supposed to do towards them. They are not the same as us. They're trying to copy our laws. This goes back all the way to 33 BC during the takeover. And when the Persian Medes were conquered and Antiochus and Greece and Rome begin to occupy and destroy us and take over our temples and get us to try and blaspheme the Most High and not observe our laws and start to study their practices, they began to try and switch at that time who we were, get us to desecrate the temples and ourselves, and then they began to take over our so what they call religion. They tried to study our ways and our language and take over, so they figured they could have our power because we're a strong and mighty nation when we're under the Most High, higher, because we destroyed many nations, took over the land and had many riches, and everything we had they've taken from us and tried to be us, trying to become us, and it's no different from today. They do not believe in Christ. You must believe in our brother, the Messiah, who you call Jesus Christ, you who are not free, Yahushua HaMashiach, some of you call Yeshaya, Son of the Most High. I'm going to move on to the third one, which is, I think we're doing okay on the time. Number 15, not to hate your fellow Hebrews. I'm going to read out of Leviticus 19 and 17. Thou shalt not hate thy brother in thine heart. Thou shalt in any wise rebuke thy neighbor and not suffer sin upon him. And that last part is pretty much saying don't bear sin for him. That means don't cover up for him. Not supposed to hate with your heart, but you can't put him in check. This takes me to a scripture and a precept. You can look it up. If you believe your brother has aught against you, you should go to him. I think when you don't go to your fellow brother and you harbor that in your heart that he has something against you, we have a tendency to respond with a like type of hate based on imaginative principles, imaginatory principles, what we believe is going on in his mind without having the clarity and the knowing of where he stands. It's something so minuscule and minute can separate us so far from each other, which is just how the premise of Satan's philosophy and his paradigm works, to let a little leaven the whole lump. And the fact that it's the little foxes that destroy the vine. We kill this principle by not guessing and wondering, but immediately going to our brother to say, is there a problem there, here, or did this happen? Or even by taking on the second portion of that scripture and realizing that if your brother's in a wrong, you can rebuke him, but you can't carry his sin, because if you cover for him, that blood is on your hand. And if you see it and you don't say anything about it and you allow him to exist and carry on in that sin, or you become a partaker of that sin. And the word escapes me right now. Colluding. The sin of collusion, by allowing it, seeing it, allowing it, and participating in it, then you're just as much responsible as participating in that. So it is important, and this is so powerful, for us to come together and establish a cohesiveness again as a mishpachah, as a fam within the Hebrews, to loving, to rebuking, and to going to each other to communicate and not allow the walls of separation to continue to exist in the Israelite family, in the Israelite family, because the Most High, Ahaya, is waking us up and bringing us together, because he will collect the diaspora and the tribes that he calls to be scattered, so that we would not be concentrated in one region and area, which would cause for us to be quickly and easily destroyed, as Psalms 83 spoke of. So it is our time to play our part here. As we talk about character and love, we play our part by establishing the love and the ties that bind us together. Because we're going to need each other. Because, as we spoke of, They're sending messages through the airwaves, the movies, the radio, the music, politics, to go ahead and get their party started. Their so-called dawning of Aquarius, their so-called New Age, New World Order, their so-called destruction and depopulation program. And while they're doing that, we're going to come back to the laws so that we will be prepared and ready, Kodesh. Now, they're going to come after you, but they can't stop you or destroy you. Just like there's nothing we can do because we said, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is all a part of the will of the Most High. They believe they're operating for their purposes and their premise, but all things are up under the auspices of Ahayah, the Most High. And what Satan means for evil, the Most High is going to turn around for our good. We will reign. We will rule again. Satan will be defeated. The evil in this world will be defeated. And we will be avenged. There will be revenge and recompense. There will be joy after the destruction. So have no fear. Don't let the things that you're hearing or seeing cause you to be full of fear. For he has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and sound mind. And we'll walk in that as we come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. So I am Elder V on behalf of Kavod Mountain here at the Social Change Action Network, saying, as we always say, that the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. Isaiah 54:17, no weapon formed against us can prosper. Keep your full armor on. We are in a war. Take heart, take courage, encourage yourself like King Dawood. Keep the joy, keep the faith, enjoy your time of rest, and know that no weapon formed against us can prosper. Shabbat shalom, brothers and sisters, Shabbat shalom.
Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Another race. Satan is an evil man, but him.
Yeah, we